are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, September 8th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. We're starting a little early, so I guess we're a little bit less than casual. Nevertheless, joining us today on the final day of Kelly's tenure on this program, surprise guest Cliff Schechter will be here. And special request, Kelly request, Andy Kindler will be here. Maybe we can get to the anti-Semitic email we got.
That's why I was laughing. I just read that.
I read that too.
That was so great.
It's pretty
funny.
Oh my
God, that was the best email
I've
read.
Why would you put that in writing?
Well, it was...
You're not even Jew funny.
But the amazing thing was that he figured out that... I don't know if it's his actual name. He figured out that Andy would be on the program today. Meanwhile,
you know, when I started here, that would have horrified me. And this morning when I read it, I had the same reaction as Michael.
I feel like you were pretty anti-Semitic when you got here.
Oh my God, what?
Meanwhile,
Irma
bears down on Miami, and we are nowhere prepared. GOP incumbents quitting as Ryan trumped on the debt ceiling. And are Facebook's fake Bernie bros the first step to regulation? Senate Appropriations Committee flips the bird to Tillerson and Trump. And three Equifax executives coincidentally sell their shares just after 143 million potential people or people in this country potentially had their personal data hacked from Equifax. Oh, and I should say, Equifax didn't tell anybody about it until well after these executives sold their stuff. But it was total coincidence.
Well, you know.
Tsunami warning for Mexico as they suffer a massive 8.1 earthquake. First responders file lawsuit against the chemical plant that got a break from the EPA just months ago in the wake of Hurricane Harvey. And an appeals court narrows Trump's travel ban. And after the story broke, Homeland Security cancels its massive planned raids. And lastly, the DOJ sides with cake-making homophobes, specifically in Colorado. And Don Jr.'s testimony is pardon-worthy.
Try to see like what she was up to, man. Dude.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that she was qualified to be president.
I didn't know, like, I care about my country even beyond my dad's campaign. I just wanted to make sure Hillary wasn't, like, dangerous or something.
Yeah. Oh, and adoption. Yeah, those two things.
That, number one, can we help like babies in Russia? Because it's like adoption, serious issue for especially my dad.
Well,
number
the weird
two,
part,
like,
I mean,
Hillary Clinton like fit.
I don't want to get.
I don't mean that as a joke.
I don't want to get too deep into it. But if you'll recall, originally the story was that she just talked about adoption.
It's about
now
adoption.
That story seems to have gone away.
No, it's about both, dude.
It was about adopting information about whether or not she was qualified.
Wow, you guys aren't even Jew funny. Miller's got more humor in his left pinky than you have in your whole body. And I would call it to the show if I wasn't testifying before the Intelligence Committee.
Folks, a couple of just, I don't know, public service. I mean, I just feel obligated to do this. I mean, I would assume that anyone who is listening to this program who lives in places like the Florida Keys or, frankly, Miami or anywhere in Florida has hopefully already tried to get out. There is no way to evacuate a city like that. There is simply no way. We don't have the capacity to do it. And I am very afraid we're going to be looking at destruction of the likes that we haven't seen in this country. So I hope folks in Florida are safe and are battening down the hatches. It's very difficult to get out now. Also, one other note. I mean, we should say that it's a hurricane warning now. It's not a watch. It's a warning, which means that there is a very strong likelihood. And this thing is so big. It's Category 4 now. But it's still so massive that there's really not a lot of place you can be in Florida at this point, particularly in southern Florida, where you're not going to get hit by this. So I just wanted to send out best wishes for folks who are down there. Also, this Equifax thing, 143 million people are potentially had their personal data hacked. And of course, this is like the full kit and caboodle via Equifax. We have posted on the blog a link where you can go in to see if you were potentially impacted. All you have to do is at this link, just so you know, because if you go to any, if there's any site that you see that asks you for more than part of your Social Security number, don't do it. In this instance, they asked for the last six digits in your last name. And they will either tell you to come back and check, or maybe they might offer you some type of like lockbox service. You know, who knows? But it's there on the blog. Let's see. Oh. Yesterday, my kids went to school, first day. Myla, now totally confident going to school. She's 12. She used to freak out in the days before school, in the weeks before school. Saul now is doing that a little bit. Not quite as insane as Milo was, but he is peeing his bed. And it's a problem, of course, for us because he's got the best mattress in the entire house. And so we have a whole regimen. We have wet pads. We put one of those things where it just gives him a slight electrical jolt if he... No, that's
very
not
interesting. It's the things that you reveal. Sarah,
no, we don't do that. But you know, I think Sarah Silverman
electroshocks kids.
No, she told me that her dad did that, I think.
Oh, that explains her.
Yeah. Well, I think she wrote about that in her book, but meanwhile, she never had a Casper mattress, so it was completely unjustified by her dad. But to protect the Casper, I might be convinced to get engaged in something like that. The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress, and it's at a shockingly fair price. Supportive memory foam creates an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink, just the right bounce. Here's the best part. This is the win-win situation. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they come and pick it up and refund you everything. Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. With over 20,000 reviews, an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. It really is an incredibly comfortable mattress. It's the best mattress we have in the house. You can get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/majority and using the offer code majority. Terms and conditions apply. And as you know, I don't like to go out and shop. It is really literally the worst experience. Nikki's always telling me, like, you should go to the store. They have a 70% sale. I'm like, no, I don't. I won't go.
No.
No way.
Leave me alone.
95% sale. 95% off. Then I start to contemplate actually going. I don't like to go out.
You're still on Twitter.
I don't like to go out to shop. Bombfell is an easier way for guys to get better clothes. It's an online personal styling service that helps men find the right clothes for them. Unlike other services, there's no fees to work with them, so it costs nothing to sign up. It's very simple, very straightforward. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire, and a dedicated personal stylist will handpick clothing especially for you. Then you look at their selections. You have 48 hours to make any changes or even cancel it altogether. You're in total control. And once they ship you the clothes, if you don't like them, you don't have to keep them. You don't have to pay for them. You have the option of receiving clothes once every 1, 2, or 3 months. Because Bombfell's on their side, on your side, they don't make money if you don't find something you like and want to keep. My experience, I've spoken to you about it. It is, I was really impressed because I have very specific requirements for what I wear. I
mean, very,
very narrow, very specific, and. They had a stylist that was picking out clothes for me. I looked at them. I didn't like them. And then I said, you know what? I don't think I want to get a different stylist. They were completely cool with it. I got a new one. Much better stuff. I mean, more in sync with what I like, which is more bland stuff. And I think it's hard for people to appreciate that. And so I got myself a nice shirt, pair of pants. Best of all, we've negotiated with Bombfell to get our listeners a special offer of $25 off your first purchase when you go to bombfell.com/majority. 25 bucks off your first purchase. That's Bombfell, B-O-M-B-Fell, F-E-L-L.com/majority. Bombfell, open and close. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Cliff Schechter on what is Kelly's last day. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Casual Friday, the day that inspired this little song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC,
New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC.
And that song should be updated to include your new podcast, which has launched now. You're, what, week two now?
Week two. I mean, we're still, you know, newborn, so to speak.
Right, crawling but, around, pooping your pants.
Starting to vomit up all those weird substances you do when you're a newborn. You know, the really weird, runny poop. I'm just kidding. Well, we can stop with all those metaphors. For all of you listening, if you have young kids, you're probably suffering through that. But, yeah, everything's going great, man. We unprecedented. You have to be careful with that whole thing to pronounce it right. You can find us on iTunes. If you just do unprecedentedpodcast.com, you'll get there. And please subscribe and write about us and say nice things and check it out. And then we've got the pay version where the really, really sexy stuff happens.
I can only imagine.
Can't know what that is. I mean, it is. It's like Bolton 1970s sexy, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yes. No, I do. I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I mean? I mean, that kind of, you know. And that's a that get for just $5 a month or the price of a latte in New York. I mean, come on, folks. You know, one latte a month and you're listening to us.
There you go. All right. Well, let's talk a little about Irma. At this point, it appears that it's going to hit. I mean, it's already had some incredible devastation in the Caribbean, and it appears like it's going to hit Miami. I mean, there's a couple of things of concern. One is we have no. There does not seem to be really any concerted effort to deal with this new reality of these 1 in 500 year storms happening with
every week.
Well, I mean, you know, there's every reason to believe that we're going to start to see these, like, you know, hopefully not with this frequency, but
I mean, if you see 2 in 2 weeks, 1 in 500 year storms, I think we can realistically, does that mean they're going to happen during hurricane season every week? No. Does it you know, increase? Does it make you think that we're probably going to see overall entire hurricane season 2 to 3 of these? I think realistically, yes. Or maybe a little bit lesser than 500, maybe only a 100-year storm like Sandy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, let's be realistic about this. This is our new reality.
And the problem is we have no there does not seem to be any real, I mean, in Florida, right? Rick Scott would fire anybody who mentioned climate change. There is no,
that's right.
The amount of denial that's involved in here. And so people, there's a mandatory.
In Texas, which was crushed, is, I mean, you know, controlled by right wing loons. So is Oklahoma, which a little further in will really get most of what a hurricane would be. But Louisiana, you know, we happen to have a Democratic governor now, thankfully, but much of the state is very Republican. Alabama. I mean, we can go through all of that. The ones that are most vulnerable are controlled by people that are lunatic deniers, you know, which, again, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, the problem with this, of course, is that there's not going to be any type of contingency plans planned. So, for instance, 650,000 people were under a mandatory evacuation, 650,000. And Dunk Black over at Eschaton Atrios. He just laid this out. One lane of highway can carry 43,000 cars per day at peak capacity. Okay, so do the math, folks. You know, the idea that, I mean, even in the best case scenario, you're talking about 3 or 4 or 5 days to get everybody out. That doesn't include the ideas of, like, people who don't have cars, the ideas of people who have disabilities. That also implies there's going to be enough gas, because now, you know, you can't buy gas down in Florida. And so we've set up a scenario where there are people there who, some who make the decision to stay and others who just, it's so difficult to leave that they're going to be there. And God
this
help
reminds
us.
Me.
I mean,
go ahead,
we could be seeing the first of, like, well, not the first, obviously. I mean, we saw it in Katrina, but you would think that certain lessons would have been learned, and they clearly have not been.
Well, they're not learned by design. I mean, we did learn them during Katrina, unless you're, so, you know, for anybody who has a 3-digit IQ, it's impossible not to learn those lessons. But again, you know, it's kind of like global warming in general. I mean, you at this point have to be, you have to be that much of a moron to not accept that that's reality. We're talking about 98-99% of scientists. So you could also believe, you also could have stood out there and said, the eclipse is never going to happen. That would have been just as smart. I mean, we kind of need to stop. And I don't say necessarily we as a few people talking on this show, but all of us accepting climate deniers in terms that where we should treat them with respect. We need to treat them like the imbeciles they are, because they're getting all of us killed. And they need to be, you know, mocked and insulted and treated with the same contempt as if somebody looked you in the face and said, gravity doesn't exist. And things of that nature, because that's what you're looking at. And it's acute in the southern states even more. You pointed it out. I mean, look, when these things hit developing countries, the people always who suffer the most are the ones who lack the resources. As you were pointing out, I mean, if you don't have a car, and public transportation isn't very good and you can't rely on it, guess where you're getting if you need to get, you know, if you need to move somewhere quickly, you're not getting anywhere quickly. And so who is going to suffer the most? We know that. So the entire, frankly, Republican ideology we've been living under for 40 years now, you know, of just cutting government, cutting taxes, is stupid. It's not meant for an economy, which a lot of Republicans at least secretly know, and some others have actually come out and honestly said. You can't, you know, when you need, the only way to try to combat this is obviously first to deal with the issue of global warming. But after that, you know, if it's going to still happen in some form anyhow, you need to build up infrastructure to protect people. You need to build up all sorts of, you know, come up with plans and routes for people to escape. And they're not doing any of this stuff.
No, nope.
Texas is a barely functioning, you know, Texas is a place where they cut chemical plant, regulations so they can blow up when there's a fucking flood.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it's such a base level of stupid that you don't know. Rick Scott not allowing people to even talk about this, as you pointed out. I mean, these people are going to get killed.
Here's an example.
Miami will be on the map in 20 years.
Here's an example. You know, earlier in the week, we played a clip of Rush Limbaugh saying that this Irma thing was overblown, that this was a way for, and this happens all the time, it's a way for retail outlets to sell more bottles of water. And the whole idea is to train his audience to see how the climate hoax enriches people, right? And that's the idea.
Right.
And then,
now,
of course,
what's
and then,
important here, though,
and then, of course, he, on that day, yesterday, this is what he says to his audience after he has told them now, okay, to the extent that there's any of these Rush Limbaugh listeners in southern Florida, and they listen to this guy, and they're like, this is a hoax, and they're staying in their house. They're there now. They're frozen. Rush Limbaugh,
what he's doing.
In his multi-$100 million contract, he's not. Here he is yesterday.
Have we made a determination on tomorrow yet? Is that, or we still? Okay, I may as well go and announce this. I'm not going to get into details because of the security nature of things, but it turns out that we will not be able to do the program here tomorrow. That will be in the hands of Mark Stein tomorrow. We'll be on the air next week, folks, from parts unknown. So we'll be back on Monday. It's just that tomorrow is going to be problematic. Tomorrow it would be, I think, legally impossible for us to originate the program out of here. So, you know, I had to cancel a bunch of stuff. I was going to go to a private movie screening this afternoon, and I had a bunch of stuff to do tonight, and now that's all blown to smithereens. But I had a feeling this was going to happen. Well, Vince Flynn's new movie, you know, American Assassin, they've made a... It starts on September 15th. I can already tell you it's dynamite. American Assassin is just fabulous. And I was there. They were going to have a private screening for me. There's the big premiere in Minneapolis for Vince.
We don't need to listen to the rest of the other cancellations. I would be very curious as to what the legal implications of him doing the show is. I mean, this is a guy who seems to...
He gets people killed who produced his show, and then they sue him. Is the only thing I can think of.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, apparently.
But this is really important, because as soon as you brought up Rush Limbaugh, I wanted to say this, that this storm now, the worst of it, is headed directly for Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, and the Koch brothers. I'm missing somebody else's houses.
Mar-a-Lago, probably.
So while I hope nobody gets hurt, because I don't wish that upon people, I hope their houses just get effing pummeled. I hope that Rush Limbaugh's house and Ann Coulter's house, Koch brothers, who am I missing? I just saw a tweet with it. I just hope their houses get absolutely destroyed. And I hope afterwards, anybody who's there among you who has a cell phone, please go out and take imagery of it so we can see what the hoax does. It may be tough through all the gates and everything to get to Rush Limbaugh's house. But if there's a vantage point somewhere, you can get imagery of it. Because, you know, I'd like to know what this big hoax that isn't going to do anything actually ends up doing to his house.
But is there a better metaphor than the guy who's like, this is all a joke. Incidentally, I'm out of here.
Right.
It's too late for you to leave.
Well,
and
I mean, again, it's
there's one other thing.
Types of human beings you're dealing with here. I mean, this is what I think people, you know, often who are on the left and really almost anywhere where sense resides, go through is that you forget that these, kind of like our president, these people don't spring from the same sort of moral system most of us come from. They're missing something. And so to them, it's all part of the same game. If they can make money, you know, if people get killed, that's okay. They feel no responsibility for it. And I think it's a hard thing often for people to grasp what kinds of people you're dealing with here. He doesn't care. I mean, it makes no difference to him. If 10 people die in Florida because they listen to him, or 20 people and don't leave their homes, the only way that bothers him is he has 10 or 20 fewer listeners. That's the only part of it that bothers him.
There's one other, and that won't even bother him. There's one other thing that we should just make note of that is a very scary prospect. There are two nuclear facilities in that region. And I believe they have been powered down, or that they're anticipating it. One is Turkey Point.
But it is Florida, so who knows, right?
Right. Well, apparently Florida Power and Light is pretty good as far as these companies go. But Turkey Point is down in basically just at the bottom of Florida. And if we get a type of situation like Fukushima, Miami is, I don't know what's going to happen to Miami anyways, but this obviously would be a real problem. And so it's unclear. There was a story that somebody pointed me to from 2011 saying that Turkey Point went into operation in 1972. It was licensed for 40 years. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission recently rubber stamped another 20 years.
Okay.
They did a piece in the Miami New Times with a whistleblower who formerly worked for them, a guy named Thomas Saporito. And he said there's a bunch of problems with that place, including the fact that employees are afraid to report safety concerns. Turkey Point is susceptible to a meltdown. I'll quote from this piece. A hurricane-spurred tidal surge from Turkey Point's neighboring Biscayne Bay could create catastrophic conditions identical to those in Japan. With power down, the plant would be forced to rely on emergency diesel generators to pump water to cool the reactors. Those generators could become inundated with water. It's a scary scenario.
That's not a good thing.
It's a scary situation down there, and so
it is. And again, when you deregulate like crazy, and you've got people, you know, like Greg Abbott and Rick Scott as governors of these places. And then Donald Trump is president. Who, by the way, I forgot that one. His house was the first one that's down there. His is in Palm Beach, of course, and it's the hurricane is headed straight for his house. So there's that too.
We'll always have the Mar-a-Lago summit.
We're very sad about that. So what can you say? It sort of brings together all the worst trends. Are allowing states to run things that really need to be run at the federal level, our election of climate deniers and people that profit off of this and are willing to ignore what is obvious science, and all this stuff comes together. And in the end, you know, this is going to happen in the future. Again, we don't know it's going to happen on this level. We may get lucky, quote unquote, and there may only be one hurricane next hurricane season. I mean, that would actually be considered a good season. You know what I mean?
It's
devastating. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, I want to move on to what's going on in Washington, but just to wish people, good luck, and I just hope everyone is safe. And, if we have to save Coulter's house and Limbaugh's house to save other people, that's a willing trade I would make.
Oh, of course. If I could sort of direct the hurricane just to those four houses, that would be great. Right.
If everybody makes it out fine, then somebody can go over there and TP the house or something.
Oh yeah. As I said, I don't wish harm on anybody. I would like to see the four of their homes up in flames. But one more thing, I think it's kind of that I want to say personally, which is, I was on this. I lived in St. Thomas for a summer, and so. When I got into graduate school, and they were still cleaning up. This was 1997. Yes, folks, that was 20 years ago, and I am not young. I'll never forget that there were still parts, because some of those islands have that much more of the extremes between wealth and poverty.
Yep.
And so I just hope anybody who's listening down there, as in everywhere, all I can do is wish everyone the best and say we're thinking about you, because I remember the devastation still in St. Thomas, and I've seen some of those images, and I'm kind of heartbroken about it. It's a bad thing.
The really terrifying part is you've got those trailers. There's a lot of trailer parks in Florida, and when you're talking about winds at this speed, 150 miles an hour, I don't know what the latest wind speed is, but these buildings, that have been built prior to 2010, they can't withstand wind up in the 150s, 160s, 170s, or at least that's not the specs into which they're built for. So I hope everybody's okay down there. All right, let's turn to DC because the hurricanes are frankly playing a part in this. We've talked about this on the show a little bit, but there's two things that are going on here. Well, really, actually, like five things that are going on.
Yeah, you went way up in your estimation.
Well, as you start to count the different cross currents. So let's just tee this up. The idea was this, that the Senate and the House leadership, McConnell and Ryan's plan was this. It was to start a bill in the House. I guess it was, hurricane relief in the House. Send it to the Senate, where they would attach an 18-month extension on the debt ceiling. Send it back to the House to vote on the hurricane relief / debt ceiling thing. And with the cover of Donald Trump, they would be able to get enough Republican votes to pass it, punt the debt ceiling. They could do the Republican two-step where they pretend like they're against the debt ceiling, but because of the these circumstances, we're going to have to vote for it, and the president's for it, and this and that. And Paul Ryan gets assurance from Donald Trump that this is the plan, goes out, and apparently what happened, according to Ryan Liz's piece in The New Yorker, is that some of the members of the Freedom Caucus went out and said, we're not going along with this. This plan is pretty transparent, and we're not going along with this. And that gave the Democrats...
Freedom Caucus usually is very agreeable.
Well, they have been, you know, they've saved us many times, frankly, over the past...
No, I know. I'm just saying, not shocking that they would go out and say no, because that's what they like to do.
And... Pelosi and Schumer, to their credit, either anticipated it or assessed it at the moment and said, well, we'll go to Trump and say, we'll give you 3 months on that debt ceiling deal. And Trump was willing to stick it into Paul Ryan and McConnell's face and made a deal. And now may even get rid of the debt ceiling, may come up with a deal to get rid of the debt ceiling permanently. You know, where it's not having to be constantly reauthorized. And this is just...
This time we're being saved by Donald Trump.
Well, it's created this sort of, funnel cloud, if you will, in D.C. And part of what's spinning off it is these resignations now of two moderates and reports from John Martin at New York Times that Republican pros are messaging me to say House retirements, this is only the start. And it's not just going to be...
But you think that's because of the debt ceiling?
I think what we're seeing, and you know, you see rumors where they're talking about bringing back Newt Gingrich, and they're talking about bringing back Rick Santorum to replace Paul Ryan. I mean, I think it's just sort of like everybody's just realizing like, oh man.
Please bring back Newt Gingrich.
Oh, yes.
So in this, he would either... Would he run for office, or they would use the exception where they're allowed to actually have the Speaker of the House be a non-member of Congress, even though that's never happened as far as
right.
I know.
Right, it's the latter. I mean, obviously this is not going to happen, but it's just indicative of the insanity that is now going on within the Republican Party about this stuff.
And Newt Gingrich is a guy whose own caucus kicked him out within, like, what, 2 years, 3 years, they wanted him gone, and they had a coup against him. I mean, I hope they think he can lead, and they bring him in. That's all I have to say, because that would be awesome. With all of his personal trials and tribulations, let's call them, and his ability to lead, or lack thereof is what I should say, please bring him in.
Well, I don't know if there's anybody who's possible of leading anything in the House, frankly, at this point. Donald Trump is making it more difficult for them at this moment. It feels like, I think it's quite possible that in 3 weeks that we've reverted to the mean, but it's pretty stunning, isn't it?
Well, all of this is. Again, stunning on some level, and then we have to expect the unexpected with all of these guys. I mean, normally, you wouldn't have a group of crazy people who have been so freed by the Republicans, fact-free statements and policy positions in the last 30, 40 years, that these guys are allowed to take a position we all know is incredibly irresponsible, stupid, and won't work, this large section, the Freedom Caucus, you know, and they get away with it, and they basically make the Republican House ungovernable, as it has been now for at least a half dozen years. Probably somewhat longer. So you've got that. And you have to almost expect them to do what you would expect a mature body of individuals to do. And then you bring in Donald Trump, whose unpredictability, who's a guy at one point believed in Democratic positions, has gone everywhere all over the map on everything. My guess is he just believed in those Democratic positions because he lived in New York and it was the easy thing to do. And has no real core beliefs except for enriching himself and his family and making himself more famous and more powerful. So, if you're Donald Trump, and you're sitting there and you're like, the Freedom Caucus may say no go and screw me so I get stuck in this position where, again, I look like a failure who can't negotiate and can't bring people together, as what happened with health care, where that Republican Congress screwed me, which is what he's thinking to himself. Then here you go and you make a deal and he gets to walk around and claim this is an accomplishment. And so in a way, it's not what any actual partisan Republican would ever do. But as we always knew, there are benefits to having Donald Trump there because of how stupid he is and how, naive he is and the rest of it. And the fact that he's not tied to the Republican Party. Now, it creates danger in other places. But in this one area, he doesn't have to do what they want him to do because he's independent of them.
Well,
so it's kind of nice.
I mean, look, the flip side of that is, I mean, there's some who argue that Mitch McConnell perfectly happy to let this happen because it's taken, nobody's talking about Mitch McConnell and it is taking the pressure off of him having to navigate a 3-week period essentially in September where you have the debt ceiling, you have the budget, you have reauthorization for multiple, everything running from the national flood insurance to the FAA, that FEMA needs money. I mean, in some ways, it makes Mitch McConnell's life easier. And I don't know that Trump was conscious of that. And then the real question becomes, what about DACA? Like, where is and will the Democrats use this second bite at the apple of the debt ceiling, where they basically will be like, look, you need our votes to pass this debt ceiling. You need our votes. And the only way you're going to get it is if you also add this to that bill.
Right.
And
they can bring enough Republicans along who are for it. Right. Because as we're talking about, Charlie Dent, Dave Reichert, these people that are leaving, have absolutely nothing to lose voting against their own party on this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where Charlie Dent is on this with immigration. I would imagine he would vote for a DREAM Act, but I don't know at this point. I mean, now he's been sort of released in some ways, but it's not like Trump was overwhelmingly popular in his district. But
they're always put in that tight spot, right? Which is why you don't want DACA to even come up. And that's why by bringing that up, let's take the policy part of it aside for a second, because obviously what it does, what hurts people is terrible. And we could talk about that for a whole show, how heartless what Trump and Sessions and these guys did. But on the political side, I mean, it's all it does is it makes these guys have to talk about something where they, especially those who are in districts that have decent Latina populations, where they can't win.
Yep.
They're either going to lose Trump loyalists or they're going to lose, often more moderate-ish and certainly Latino Republicans and independents. So, I mean, someone like Dent, I mean, I don't know his position offhand, but he's probably been one of the five most moderate Republicans, comparatively in the House. I have to think he and Reichert, and then you've got the ones from South Florida, Ross Lettinen is retiring or two. You've got a few out in California that know they're in trouble. I would think you could find at least a dozen and a half Republicans easily to support this and put the pressure on and then get others aboard. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I would think that. So, I think if you play this game, you're right. If you're you play Trump against the Republican Congress and you play the Republican Congress against Trump.
And hopefully this remains, the dynamic. And who knows if he, a week or two ago, I got the sense that I guess I was saying this at the beginning of the week, but that it felt like what we were hearing out of the Mueller investigation was that, to me, it sounded like they had some stuff locked in. Like they had stuff in their back pocket and they were now playing with the house money in terms of where they were starting to investigate. They had covered all their bases with Schneiderman. You can't pardon Manafort because he's going to be up on state charges. We've dispersed the evidence around so that if you get rid of me, you're still going to have a problem. And Donald Trump Jr. goes to the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing yesterday. And by all accounts, it was seemed like, you know, a couple of members of the Democrats on the Senate committee were basically putting out sort of soft claims that Trump Jr. just, like, you know, lied.
He lied. And even some of the stuff that he apparently admitted,
yeah,
I mean, screws him. That they planned, you know, that he and his dad planned to write that stupid statement to deny Russian, you know, the investigation looking further into Russia. Combine that with all the stuff that's come out on Facebook and the buying of ads, which you have to know that Mueller and that team has much of, you know, a lot more than we probably are hearing. Yeah. I mean, it's he seems to have covered all his bases, and everything I'm reading says you're right. They're zeroing in on people.
And I mean, I wonder, you know, how much of that. I wonder just how much of what Trump is doing is in even any way sort of rational, or he realizes, like, I've got to do something that this is about him building a very solid 25 or 30% of support that will literally, like, throw themselves in front of a bus for Trump because he anticipates a huge bus coming hurling towards him.
Well, that's a good point. You do need, I mean, in terms of actually finding somebody guilty when you impeach, you do need 2/3. So theoretically, obviously, you're now breaking it in the Senate, you're breaking it down the states, and it's a different story. But it actually benefits the Republicans because there's more power in smaller states. He can hold on to enough people, he can survive, even if he were to be impeached in the House. He would not be found guilty of it in the Senate. Who knows? I don't know. Dude, figuring this guy out is incredible.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that he has a sense of it either.
No, you need a panel of psychiatrists. I don't think we're all, I mean, I can sit there and talk about the effects of his actions, policy-wise, politically, I think, with some insight. What's going on in his head? Harder thing to grasp. I mean, I guess he said, you know, he didn't want to go through this whole exercise. He didn't want to go through this whole fight. He's pissed at the Republicans, still seething at them for, you know, for not getting his health care destruction bill passed and not doing other things. That probably motivated some of this. The fact that he's basically been called a loser, you know, by the press, who has no accomplishments somewhat. But in the end, again, for a guy that wants to, you know, maybe you dig in with your 30%, but I mean, even when you've got even Ann Coulter attacking you on Twitter, when people like that are mad at you from the right because you were willing to join Democrats, in a way, you're pissing on your base by doing
now,
this.
Now, I just want one caveat here. There is still 22 days left, according to the Senate parliamentarian, for the Republicans to write up a bill, get it scored by the CBO, and pass a repeal and replace of Obamacare. Graham has a bill. As far as I've heard, they haven't written that bill out yet. But, John McCain said the other day that he would support that bill. And
that's the danger of Graham right away, because you know that anything he does, McCain will support. So you've lost that vote.
Michael makes the point. There's a couple of people, you know, even with those retirement announced, though, you know, maybe Charlie Dent wouldn't vote for it, but we don't have enough yet, enough numbers where people would vote against that. And, you know, I think there's, you know, that bill is, you know, a block grant type of situation, which Republicans love. And it's right. Also one of those things where you don't see the impact, how much devastation is wrought, unless you're like maybe 10 years out. Now, who knows?
Now, remember, he convinced a couple Latino Republicans. Curbelo comes to mind, or Cabello, however you pronounce his name. My apologies for not knowing. Diaz-Balart and a few others voted for that repeal bill. And since then, of course, Trump has made his position clear on DACA. So, you know, being that that bill barely passed the House, if I'm the Democrats, there may be some people particularly pissed at Trump after what he's done on the debt ceiling in DACA. And, you know, remember, you don't need that many votes. I mean, right? I mean, what did it pass by then? Only a couple.
Right. Right.
I mean, well, Charlie Dent here, one, you know, Reichert there, a couple others, and it's dead in the House. So worth thinking about.
From your mouth to God's ears. All right. Well,
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying if I were the Democrats, that would be my thinking in terms of where to peel off from this thing.
Right. All right. Well, let's just briefly touch on I don't want to get too carried into this, but I got sucked into a Twitter thing last night. But yeah, I don't want to even talk about that. But
Who was it?
I'm not going to talk about it. I mean, people have Twitter. Well, they can go look on Twitter.
I'm going to go through your timeline. I'm just going
to
tell it.
Yeah, it won't be that hard to find. So Clinton is coming out. She's going on a book tour. You know, everybody gets to go on a book tour. That's fine. But there just seems to be, and look, she has every right to express her, her opinions in a book. And if it makes it more, I guess, sellable in some way, but I got to feel like people would read her book anyways. And that, I just think that if you are, I mean, whoever you are, as a Democratic politician at this time, that, and particularly as one who is supposedly sort of not going to run for office again, why would you drop? Why would you throw? Why would you be doing any bomb throwing?
Right. Well,
I mean, I get it that individuals can be upset and whatnot. I get that. But like, even, you know, politicians do this all the time. They have deep seated hatred for other people and they smile at them because they're politicians and because theoretically also they're, you know, the reason,
you know,
why
the big problem is here.
What? Yeah.
It's that she couldn't go and grow a beard like Al Gore did afterwards.
I guess
that would have saved it. Because, you know, she needed a beard. Once you don't have a beard, you can't cover up all those feelings with hair. You got to come out and let me give an honest. Can I say something here that will piss everybody off?
Sure.
Okay, I'd like to do that. In fact, not to self promote or anything, kid, but I did. John and I did a podcast on this the other day. John Erebos and I, he's my podcast partner, and you know what? We both voted for Hillary in the primaries. We both are very people who are supportive of Bernie. I criticized Bernie at times. I also was critical of Hillary at times. But I got to say, with all of this, so I think we both had some credibility on this issue because we did our podcast and most of it was saying, why Hillary? Why now? Why this? You know, why is this necessary? But, you know, I am going to say also, there are people I still see, like Nina Turner on the left, you know, on the Bernie side. It just won't shut up in attacking people.
Well, of course
finish this one thought, which is, well, everybody just shut the fuck up. That is my point, which is the election is over. Don't give me counterfactuals about how Bernie would have won because you don't know what would have happened when they went after him as a Jewish socialist Vermont guy, blah, blah, blah. Don't give me counterfactuals about Hillary only lost, you know, Hillary only lost because Russia and this and that and the other thing. Yes, Russia, Comey, all bad stuff. Also, didn't run a great campaign, didn't show up in Wisconsin. I'm just tired of people who, on our side, who are behaving like Republicans, putting themselves in their corner and saying, I'm a Bernie guy or I'm a Hillary guy or gal or, you know, whatever, and not willing to look at the evidence that this is all nuanced. And these people fought a battle and one of them won, one of them lost. We got Donald Trump as president. The House is on fire right now, and we're trying to deal with it. Why she comes out with this in this book, I don't know.
Right.
But Turner can't shut the up, I don't know. I'm tired of this shit. I really am.
I mean, I agree broadly in the sentiment, but my expectations for Hillary Clinton are higher than they are for Nina Turner.
Fair enough. that's a reasonable...
In terms of,
let me give credit where it's due. Just to be clear to people, because I want to prove where I'm coming from on this, I think how Bernie Sanders handled it when told what Hillary wrote was brilliant. I give him all the credit in the world for that. I appreciate it as somebody who cares about the left winning, which is he handled it well. He handled it with class. So it's a good point because you should, I mean, look, Nina Turner for a while until it became clear she can't raise money or run a decent damn campaign here in Ohio. You know, she wanted to run for governor here as a joke because she'd get crushed because she doesn't do the work.
But my point is that so, one is but, the candidate, so like, one is a surrogate.
Figure, Sam, who could have been a governor, theoretically.
Right. But I mean, she has her own Hillary's political career to help or hurt. And she'll make those determinations. But I'm just saying, like, you know, the candidates who are leaders of the Democratic Party, you know, if you care about the future of the Democratic Party, then you got to
Or just progressive politics in general. This is ridiculous. But yeah. So to be clear, to end it, I'm just tired of all of this crap. I'm tired of it on both sides. I will say this was a stupid thing for Hillary Clinton to do, unnecessary and obnoxious, really. And I don't get why at this time, because as you said, she doesn't need to sell books. She will sell them anyhow, just with her name. So I don't get it. But I wish everyone would stop this and realize, you know, that these midterms coming up. You want us to live in a democracy, folks? I mean, you want us to go full on oligarchy? You want us to have a half a dozen troop engagements in other countries? Keep up with this crap. Keep fighting each other. Sure that Donald Trump holds on to Congress and wins again. That'll be really helpful.
On that note, Cliff, we will see you next week.
Say goodbye to Kelly.
Note.
Bye, what? Cliff.
This is Kelly's last week.
Yeah.
No, where are you going, Kelly?
It's a secret. No, it's not a secret. Young Turks.
She's evacuating Florida.
No.
Oh, you're going to the Young Turks. Uh-oh, are you going to become one of those people now who attacks me because I voted for Hillary?
No, I will do nothing of the sort. It's a different role than
even
my...
Even if you do, Kelly, I will here. Still have love in my heart for you. I'd like you to know.
Me too. I will never attack you. What the heck? I'll never do that. No, I'm going to be doing behind the scenes as of
we'll see how many YouTube clicks it gets.
Undermining our chances in 2020, Cliff. Thanks.
I agree.
All right.
I will attack Michael Brooks all day long, even if it hurts our chances.
Same.
Fair. We'll see you next. Yeah, anywhere, anytime, any place, Cliffy.
Sorry, I'll find all you. Right. Kelly, seriously, congrats. Good luck.
Thank you.
Are you on air or producing or both?
I'm producing, editing, and not on air as of now.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
And are you still in New York, or do you move to LA?
The team is in New York. I do not have to move to LA.
I mean, not that that's bad. LA is a nice place. Just wondering.
No, I do not have to. I do not have to move. I was not saying that I will be on air, but I mean, let's stop.
I'm gonna write it. You know, before I did this thing on Sam's show, there's a thing you can still Google it called Republican Sexcapades. That was the first regular thing I ever did, and that was back on the old, very old version of the Young Turks, what, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, somewhere in there.
Is it trademark?
So
she's going to do it.
That was a lot of fun. So I'm a big fan of what those guys do, even if I disagree with them sometimes. And and good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Cliffy. See you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye bye.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Wow. So I didn't realize you were going to be on Air Talent.
I'm not.
Oh, all right. It just seemed like you were floating it. Totally left the, sounds like a trial balloon.
No, there isn't a plan for that. But
I mean, was it me?
But you do understand the channel that I'm going to. Do you know what I'm saying? So
No, it's a smart move. It's a smart move.
There's a lot of people who work on, the vast majority of people who work on TYT are behind the camera. I know a lot of those people. They have never, ever articulated that they might be on camera.
No, but TYT Politics, they shoot from home. They shoot themselves. I mean, okay, no, I'm never going to be on camera. I'll just officially say, I don't know, you're confusing me.
It's a Sherman-esque.
Yeah, this is really, there's a lot of dodging here.
It's not in my defined role, but, you know, You know, stuff could happen. It's life.
Huh. Interesting. All right.
Maybe one day I'll be a compelling on-air voice.
Well, that's, who knows?
No, I won't.
I'm missing good content. I'm laughing at how stupid I am. Sounds like good content.
No, my point, Michael, on the why I was holding Hillary to a higher standard is because she's the candidate.
Do people know what you're referring to? I am you.
What do you mean? No, people I know what they're referring to. She's the candidate. No, people know that.
Yeah, I'm saying that I IM'd you, so they don't know what you're responding to.
Oh, well, just you had said, why would you have a higher standard for Hillary than for Nina Turner?
Yes.
And it's because I have less expectations of a surrogate in terms of, like, you're actively, you know, you're a partisan. You're fighting for your side. I understand that. But as a candidate, particularly, you know, one who is like a, you know, a leader of the party, you know, I think the idea is that you have higher expectations of like what you're going forward, where you're going to, you know,
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I was just thinking you should spell that out and not leave that hanging.
Oh, well, I thought that was quite obvious, but,
Not for a lot of people. I mean, I don't think you necessarily recognize the sort of level that people do not even regard Hillary Clinton in that way as you do.
Well, I think it's demonstrably the reality. I mean, people can have different opinions of her, but the fact is she was the nominee of the party. That's simply a fact. That's simply a fact. I mean,
doesn't mean that people have a higher expectation set from her.
No, I said I have a higher expectation of her
most
because
people
of
don't.
That.
Right.
I don't know if most people do or don't, but I do based upon, you know, you're a nominee of a political party. You should be putting that party, you know, before certain, I don't know, personal disputes.
Also, I think I should be the one to spell out the argument for Hillary not having a right to write a book, because people always defend her right to. So I'm going to take the point that she doesn't have a right to. I'm going to work on
it. I agree. I like this.
Just a general point.
Yeah, she just can't.
Well, what was the other point that you made the other day, which is like, if you've tried to get through hard choices, like the world did not need another.
Yeah, no, that's Clinton not book. A good book.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Andy Kindler. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. How apropos to have the theme song that we're going to play in just a moment for the last request that Kelly had, her final wish, was to have not this song play, but the song was necessarily part of it, but to have the subject of the song on today's show.
With a Jew like Andy Kindler, you know you can't go wrong. His ancestors wrote the God Bless America song. A true Obama bot, Andy believes Obama can never do wrong. Yeah, Andy Kindler.com. You made me laugh so hard, I had to write your theme song. Hey, Andy Kindler.
Andy Kindler, thank you so much for joining us on Kelly's last. You're the last guest.
Don't leave. You know, Kelly, I just got a job with the aging Turks.
I'm not actually going anywhere except for not into this studio in the day. Although,
oh come on! How are you gonna take the financial hit?
It's gonna be really tough.
Come on! You can't go. Don't go.
I had this after the financial hit joke.
I mean, Sam's the best to work for that I've ever worked for.
There you go.
But you don't like Michael? I'm sorry.
I don't work for Michael. I never said it in like
him. He told me you did. He told me whatever he says, you have to do.
I would believe that if you told me that.
He makes you listen to his right-wing Mandela late at night.
Yes, why are you leaking our DMs, Andy? This is terrible. It's totally wrong.
Now, Andy, there was a little bit of kismet last night because we didn't announce that you were coming on. We just said it was going to be, it was Kelly's request.
Not that I don't like everybody else.
No, that's
you know,
not.
I think that's fine.
Probably very few people who come on Fridays listen to the show anyways. And to the extent that Film Guy Matthew is listening, I think he knows that he would not be your pick.
Oh,
for
I don't
the last
have
show.
A problem with Film Guy Matthew.
I know.
Problem doesn't.
But that
just
doesn't
mean
that,
it's not a pick.
Right.
It doesn't
that's
mean
what
a
I'm
problem.
Saying. It's not. You're not denigrating other guests. You just hold Andy in
but
a certain
like,
high
yes,
esteem.
I do love Andy, and you know. Not only is Andy hilarious and nice.
A Jew like Andy Kindler.
And a Jew, which I love Jews. But also, I never knew that there were other people that hated Dennis Miller as much as I did. I didn't really talk to anyone about it. And it's just added a lot to my life.
Well, okay, so that's perfect. Because that brings me to the email I received last night. At 7:25 p.m.
Can you read this
PM.
In the Miller voice, maybe? Might be funny.
Maybe. I just want to read it in, you know, now I'm not going to give out this guy's name. I don't even know if it's his real name. I don't know if that's his picture. If that is his picture, that makes it even that much better because he's wearing like a straw fedora and he's looking right into the camera. He's like a middle-aged guy and he's like, listen to me, you ignorant, arrogant Jews. I watched your commentary on Dennis Miller's last appearance on O'Reilly, and all I could say is that Mr. Miller has more intelligence in the tip of his pinky finger than you have in your circumcised tiny prick. Bah, bah, bah.
No, that's not a real thing, is it?
Yeah, it is. Now, but here's the thing. If this guy knew what he was talking about, he would know it's my de minimis penis, not my tiny prick. And it's, I like Jewish humor, but you're not even Jewish funny.
Yes.
Put yourself in an oven. Bah, bah, bah.
That's where it goes really downhill really fast. The last
Well,
sentence.
The weird part is he didn't do like one of those like, why don't you act like the third character in in Schindler's List and put yourself in
it. It'd have to be more obscure than Schindler's List. What about the deleted scene in The Pianist?
I forgive you. That's from Schindler's List, sorry.
You're like Roberto Benigni.
You're like Roberto Benigni's cousin in the deleted scene in Life is Beautiful in the DVD commentary. Bop, bop, bop. Except that's a 90s reference. That's too recent.
Yeah.
Have they heard my Moyle chunk? I have a very funny Moyle chunk.
Nice. The old Moyle chunk.
Why do they
joke.
Call them Orthodox Jews? Because they're more strict? All right.
Andy, what have you been up to these days? What have you been up to?
I don't know what I was doing there. I think I was doing Michael's voice as a Jew or something like that. Hey, you know what's amazing about this, though?
What?
If you had told me, I had no idea we could have done this an hour earlier every week. This is really great. That's my waking up early joke. God, I've lost it. You know when I lost it? I think I wrote it down. Early this morning, I said, that's it.
What's that?
No more humor for me. Oh, no more humor.
Is that what you wrote down this morning? You woke up and you said, I'm done? Yeah. I am done. I'm resigning from being funny.
I peaked. I have an app that shows you when you peaked.
That did work.
Wait, didn't Judd Apatow tweet that you were super hilarious last night?
Well, I don't like, even though I did ask you, Kelly, to mention that during the interview, I'm certainly not someone who brings attention to the fabulous people who know me. I don't know I should do, get a job as an impressionist, but then I guess we have to say who the person was after I do it and make up a name.
You'd have to find somebody.
Who was that?
Oh, and now I'd like to do Chester A. Arthur. Finding out that his food has not arrived.
You know what? I think, Andy, the impression that you do that I think is very legit is Bill Maher. I really like your Bill Maher impression.
Oh, thank God, Bill Maher. Oh, I was so worried. Would he be signed up for another 45 years on HBO? And he's signed up. Thank God, finally speaking power to whatever he does for 4 more years.
Come on, what is it though? It's speaking, my old job.
Speaking power to truth.
No, okay. Right. Tonight in the show, we have Lawrence Krauss from the Lawrence Livermore Nuclear Plant. My old job. My old job. But I kid the president.
Okay.
My favorite thing still is, after a bad, terrible joke, Bill Maher thinks the audience just doesn't want to get his edgy material.
Right.
They're afraid to laugh. Come on, people. No, we didn't enjoy the joke. We didn't enjoy a man who's been trying to do desk pieces for 40 years and still says... and still laughs at the end of every setup. Okay, now it's just sad now. It's just sad now, Bill Maher. It's sad. Let's like that.
All right. Now, speaking of sad, usually we have Bill O'Reilly, the D-Man, show up on Bill O'Reilly's show, complain and whine about how miserable things are and how horrible it is. It really did feel like he needed a vacation, and fortunately, he got one.
Did he go to the middle of the country or somewhere to get away from all of the elites that he can't stand? Did he go to like Wisconsin or like rural Iowa?
Maybe
Maybe Steve King's district.
He did actually, yes. But via the continent, the European continent. Here he is with Bill O'Reilly.
Now, you went on a nice vacation, and you know what? I admire you and your wife for doing that. You know, you got to see the world. You have an opportunity to do it. Give me some highlights.
Pause it, Byron Allen.
Easy.
The admiration. I really admire you for having what it takes to fly to... Oh, is this Florence? Let's hear it.
I mean, come on. Even Byron Allen leaves a little bit for the comic to do.
Well, but the thing is, None of it is funny. That's the problem. All he does is go through. Just go through a little bit of this.
Let's see.
Give me some highlights.
This would cheer me up. Well, I'm not cheered down, but let's do it.
In those beautiful, like, nooks and crannies of Rome where they bring the most amazing seafood and stuff like that to your table. Then from there, I went to Venice, and I stayed in a beautiful suite right on the Grand Canal. Lovely suite. I guess they're telling us where George Clooney honeymooned. Is that possible, Billy? Or would the room still have been a rumbling, as they say? And right when I checked in, it was an amazing thunderstorm, and this huge crack of lightning hit right across the canal for me. And I was a little loaded because I had had a Negroni in the afternoon, and it was a little strong. So I thought, boy, this is absolutely perfect right now.
Now, pause it for 1 second. A Maroni?
No, a Negroni. Negroni. Bop, bop, bop,
what
bop,
is that?
Bop.
Macaroni? Is that like a pasta joke?
Negroni is a cocktail. It's just some one thing.
Oh, I thought it was a macaroni.
Orange.
It's sort of the famous drink that they have.
It's a
right?
great Italian drink that Obama gave out for free to welfare cases, Billy. Bop, bop, bop. I've got it back.
It sounds to me like he had like a half a dozen of those.
Then we had another one. There was like a rainstorm.
Now,
Billy.
There's nothing else like even worth listening
the
to. It.
Of course he had a half
stuff.
A dozen of them. He's
oh, the statue
the
stuff.
Statue
all
stuff.
Right. Can we go forward?
No, wait a second. He does the thing that he did just did at the beginning that I love is the Dennis Miller laugh talk. What is he laughing at the beginning of the piece where he goes, and then I went to a nice little place. I mean, he's literally laughing as if talking about the sweets he's getting is like the fun. He can barely hold it in.
Well, I mean, it's pretty exciting. He was in the
two
same
of them
suite
are,
they see.
Are just shit-faced, Andy. Like, that's the thing. Both of them, I mean.
Did you have those biscottis, Miller?
Now, wait a second. We got that crazy man. That's the whole thing, too. It's like, wait a second, folks. Wait till this crazy man hits the air.
Wait, what did you... you went down to Rome? I knew it. So let's listen. All right, so we sped it up a little bit. Now we've jumped ahead a little bit, but go ahead.
Our trip where you pull up off a Greek island and then land in the mountains. By it sure. was fun.
Oh, yeah, okay. So he's talking about they went from the Greek islands to his compound, I guess, in Idaho that he has. So he did end up going, and he's talking about the culture shock.
Right, but where, right, Idaho, like Sun Valley or something?
Yes.
Like some place where
I think
they
it
have
is Sun
like
Valley.
A, like a like economic summits? Oh, okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Keep playing.
Where Mark Halpern. That's where Mark Halpern hangs out.
16-hour trip where you pull up off a Greek island and then land in the mountains. By it. Sure. It was fun.
Now, you're lucky you went to Rome because, you know, the statues of the emperors, which are all over Rome, they're going to have to be removed, Miller. You know, those emperors did some bad things. Julius and
Augustus. Right after they get...
I got to get them out
right
of here.
Right after they get to those FDR statue, man. Yeah, he's the one I always
he's
worry
toast.
About. The fact
Franklin
that you can
Roosevelt?
Round up 120,000 Japanese Americans and put them into a camp. And, you know, when I was talking to my friend in Greece, who's quite the historian, he told me some of the people were in there for 3 years. Is that possible, Billy? I thought it was like I didn't quite know when FDR rounded people up. And they were not Japanese, people living in the state. They were Japanese Americans.
Americans,
I thought,
right,
well, what's
yeah,
the most anybody
on.
Stayed there? Right. A few months?
Pause it for
I'm
one
having
second.
A moral awakening. Bop, bop, bop.
You know who used to be a frequent guest on Bill O'Reilly's show? Michelle Malkin, who wrote an entire book in defense of that internment. He doesn't seem to have as much of an issue.
No. Did she? I can't believe it. She said it was okay to intern the... Oh, that's a shocker.
Yeah,
I said she's a stupid... bitch. Michelle Malkin. My last day. Don't care.
Dennis Miller. That's just Filipino-Japanese warfare, Billy. But it's pretty wrong. I had no idea. I thought they had a little nice Japanese huts built for them by FDR. And they did a couple of weeks. And then it was like, okay, you're not a spy. Here's a pat on the back. Go back to your rice shop. But 3 years, Billy. Not so good. My friend's an historian, see?
Well, I have a friend in Greece who's quite an historian. Who says something like that?
It's like
his friend in Greece who's a quite an historian?
It's like some drunk insurance executive who's like, you know what, I actually read a book and I think Malkin might have been wrong about that. It was a little fucked up. Let's go get drunk.
I also love the whole what's next thing with the statues. What's next? Today we have a racist Confederate soldier. But what's next? Jesus statues are coming down.
Oh, well, wait a second.
Wait for it.
Hold on. We can help you out. You're like some type of soothsayer. You got...
They stayed some of them 3 years. That's
Teddy's got to go because Teddy killed all the animals. Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah. So he's gone. Columbus already gone in L.A. It's Indigenous Peoples Day, not Columbus Day in L.A. But you know what struck me? The indigenous people killed each other in savage ways. I mean, I don't know whether you know that Indian
savage
culture,
more,
but when
Bill
they
O'Reilly,
declared war on each other, it was everybody dies. Okay, kids, turtles, everybody dies. So the indigenous people, that's
turtles?
Only going to last for a couple of months. You got to wipe that out because there were many, many atrocities committed in the battle between the indigenous people themselves. So, you know, we're going to be living in a couple of years in a land of no statues, no paintings, no books. Everything's going to be gone to the brave new world that's coming, Miller.
Well, I know the other day I watched the old movie with Gregory Peck and Omar Sharif called McKenna's Gold. And I was talking to a person about it, and I said, wow, that Julie Newmar was certainly a statuesque beauty. And they got mad at me because I used the word statuesque. All I can say is this. When we're in Baltimore, you know, you usually roam the stage back and forth with the hand mic. I tend to stand center stage right behind a mic or a podium and not move. I'm not going to do that in Baltimore this time. I'm going to roam. I don't want anybody assuming I'm a statue up there because I'm not moving and talk like me in mid-act.
All right, Dennis Miller, everybody rehearsing the new material. But the Baltimore-Tampa show is coming up in a couple of weeks. And
what did he say about the new material?
Well, he was rehearsing new material, which is, of course, that I can't stand up here because you'll think I'm a statue.
Let me tell you something. I'm not going to still be
standing. He intros his thing with the most obscure movie. Yeah, I was watching Minnie vs. Chibi last night.
I've got a really long way to go to get use the word statuesque. I'm going to fly across country so I can use the word statuesque, which is the joke.
You know, I wish I didn't hate his gut so much because I really would appreciate some of this material. The statuesque.
Now, should we play that that audio that Andy pulled? I mean,
can we race
through it?
He would be taken off stage.
Let's see if we can just try and play this really fast. So, Andy, you found some Dennis Miller.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if it's I can already tell though right away that the guy who's the DJ is already more animated than Dennis Miller.
But I mean,
it must be like a big disappointment with all these right wing stations. They think he's going to come on and really
Dennis
kill.
Dennis Miller's views on Irma in Florida. That's the pitch.
Hey, I just got done. Did you know there was a lot of natural disasters in Greece and Rome and whatnot?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good thing people are moving now to Florida or they would get toppled because people would think they were statues.
I like where you're going, but the reference is way too current.
It's like calling a Skotsky out there in the freeway.
Here, play it.
Florida Live with Dan Maduri, weekdays 3 to 6 on AM 820, your conversation station.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Oh, White Stripes.
With Hurricane Irma barreling towards us, bearing down on us, I thought it might be a good idea to have some levity on the program. So I turned to Dennis Miller, and the Spin Stops Here Tour 2017 comes to Tampa September 23rd. Dennis Miller, thank you for taking the time and joining us on the program.
Well, sure. I feel a little... Obviously, I feel sheepish about this. You guys have big issues.
Sheepish.
It's an odd juxtaposition to talk about a Cat 5 storm moving on the land and then a tour called The Spin Stops Here. So it's
God.
To be as quick as I can here. It seems like you've got infinitely bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, you know, Dennis, it is kind of interesting because you always hear people trying to work their way through the logic of do I stay, do I go? You know, so if Dennis Miller was living in the state of Florida, well, when do you call it? When do you decide, you know what, that hurricane's it's a little bit too big and a little bit too uncomfortable for me. Therefore, it's time to hit the road.
Well, listen, if somebody's using a fan in Bermuda and they pick it up in Florida, I'm out. You know, I'm one of those guys. I'm out quicker than later.
What? What did you say? What did he just say?
Pause it. If somebody's using a fan in Bermuda and they pick it up and I'm out of here?
This fan came from Bermuda. I can tell. There's black people's skin oils on it. Time to vacate, see? Bada bing.
I just want to note that this, for everyone to remind you, this is sped up. Dennis Miller is like catatonic.
This is not amazing.
That was 1.25.
Are you telling me that's for real?
That's extraordinary.
He is catatonic. What is happening?
Hey, so Dennis, what do you leave Florida? What do you think? Well, I'll tell you, if there's a fan that comes from Trinidad, see, I'm on my way out of here with a one ticket to Sun Valley. But if not, maybe I'll be eating some biscotti while watching Flashdance.
I got to say, I feel a little bit awkward being on this show to promote the Spin Stops Here tour on September 23rd. Tickets available go to my website.
Tickets available at spinstopshere.org/bookings.
Let's keep
infinitesimally. I know you guys have infinitesimally. No, that's not what you bigger right, fish.
Speed
to
it up to 1.5. Let's bring this baby up to 1 point. Let's pull this baby up to warp speed because we got Klingons on our backs.
I love the juxtaposition between the guy who has the voice like the DJ guy and Dennis Miller. I love that. 65 degrees, funny man Dennis Miller is on the phone to tell us what's going on with what's funny about Irma.
We've got an unfunny situation, so it's time to turn to a funny bad. Dennis, when do you leave? When the black people come by my housing development. Bada bing.
Hey, Dennis, have you ever lost anything in a storm?
Using a fan in Bermuda, and they pick it up in Florida. I'm out. You know, I'm one of those guys. I'm out quicker than later. But I also understand that people have to, you know, people want to make their own calls in life. And it just seems odd to me that we would get that into what people want to do. It's a big boy world and a big girl world, and everybody's got to make their own decision. I would always err on the side of caution.
All right, pause it for 1 second. Incidentally, I don't want to bring it down, but I love the fact that for Dennis Miller, it's a question of personal liberty. If you were to have left Florida yesterday for a vast number of people, if you had left, you could get fired. There is no statute to protect you. Even in the course of a mandatory evacuation, there is no statute to protect you. But
no one's keeping you at your job. It's freedom.
But all the statutes have got to be tipped over anyways. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't eliminated the statutes.
Got some mayors out there telling people if you're going to stay, we'll do us a favor, write your name, date of birth, and social security number on your forearm. Therefore, when we find your body, we'll know who it is. I mean, what do you say to something like that?
Well, if a 185-mile-an-hour storm hits it's Florida, I have no wisdom. I would say a prayer for everybody. Mayors can say whatever they want. I would say we live in a time where I think we feel like since we have access to all information, we in some otherworldly way manage all information. And nobody manages Mother Nature, obviously. If that storm doesn't dissipate, a DBA or some anomaly happens, and it hits flush on at 185, it's cosmic destruction. And I don't think man has much say over that. Like I said, everybody has to make their own call. I would have been out of there by now.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dennis Miller here, the Spin Stops Here tour.
I can't believe it's still going. Can you?
He's a climate change denier, I'm assuming, right?
This, I actually feel like the radio host was made the fatal flaw here. Like, we got to cheer this up. Who can we get? Dennis Miller.
We've got funny man Dennis Miller on the line. Dennis, have you ever had to evacuate during your act?
Well, evacuation, in a certain sense, we're all evacuating in slow motion towards the inevitability of death, see? Anyways, if Tampa's still standing, and that's a statue joke right there, which I won't even spell out, but it's there. Bill O'Reilly will be there, and I will complain about college textbooks saying that sexism exists. But in the meantime, it's Mother Nature, and you all might die, see?
All right, let's hear
it. It's like that Twilight Zone episode where the statue comes alive and gets a Twin Peaks.
It's like Star Trek Episode 3 in Season 4 when Kirk goes and meets the green people.
Team coming to Tampa September 23rd. This is Florida Live. I'm Dan Maduri. You know, Dennis, I was talking to somebody as I went to fill up my car with gas. And you know, he's sitting there and he's telling me how
was he doesn't believe.
Basically,
Grace?
His premise was he doesn't believe in hurricanes. because Democrats own all of the, you know, the meteorologists. They own most of the media. They're just trying to tell us about this massive hurricane approaching us based on the fact that they want us to all believe in global warming, and they want us all out here buying water, canned goods, and you know, buying things to help drive the...
He may have run into Rush Limbaugh at the gas station. He's clearly... that's interesting. I'm curious what Miller's going to say here.
Economy, you know, when you hear that kind of logic, and you hear that, you know, politics have... No,
I didn't hear it. You heard it. You have to make your own call on that. I will say that I think I did read that obviously we've had the disaster now in Houston, and now we have another one bearing down on Florida. Yet to be determined exactly how that's going to come out. But I swear that I read that we have not had a major hurricane make landfall in the States for, I might be apocryphal here, 14 years. If that's the case, then God's looking down on us, because that's an amazing gap. But as far as where you pump gas, it sounds like the guy was pumping a little gas too, and not all of it was ethanol.
Let me just say, you had a little bit of that. I'll tell you, that's not the kind of gas you get when you combine gasoline with ethanol.
God's looking down on us, and here I'm going to very, very indirectly make fun of Rush Limbaugh.
That sounds like they weren't pumping gas, but they were using lithium crystals.
Man, I have this. Miller is extremely attentive to being implicated in any kind of lawsuit.
Yeah.
He, I mean, did you notice the way he perked up there? He sounds like he was on Ambien the whole interview, and all of a sudden the guy's like, the second guy at the gas station says hurricanes don't exist because of liberals. Well, you're going to have to determine
make
that on
your own.
Bop, 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 bop,
bop, bop,
bop,
bop, bop. Didn't he say that? That's your call.
That's your call. I know, man.
That's the funniest when you have a comedian come on and go, look, I have no comment on that matter at this juncture.
That's something you're going to have to refer to my attorney for. Anyways.
Let's hear what else, where else this goes.
He also said pray. He said pray, too.
We're talking to Dennis Miller. So you're going to be at Annaly Arena with Bill O'Reilly, a good friend of yours. You know, what was the idea and the genesis behind this tour, and what are you and Bill looking to discuss and accomplish?
Let's see. Accomplish? I don't know. I think that makes it more... like a League of Nations meeting. I'm hoping to get some...
League of Nations!
League of Nations! I remember when they were around 70
the
years
League
ago.
Of Nations.
That's even before
like
he was born.
What was the League of Nations? Like Human League? When their lead singer left?
Why cite League of Nations?
What? Welcome to the League of Nations. That was when we tried to have international law before black people could vote.
You're making...
Made a lot more sense. But then Gandhi was going up and down. Do you remember Ben Kingsley and Gandhi?
You make it
sound
like...
And he's yelling at his wife.
Like you make it sound like a meeting of the Roman Senate where we have prefects coming in from the outer territories.
Sounds like a meeting of a Swedish town hall in 1820. Do you know they had those? A friend of mine's quite the scholar. He told me about that in Greece. Can I have another drink?
Do you think he has an app where just random words come up, so he tries to put them in? Get League of Nations in there now.
Oh, I think that's totally
true. My name,
true.
Kaiser Soze. Good.
League of Nations meeting. I'm hoping to get some laughs. Bill talks about his former show. I haven't really... Have I done one with him since he left Fox, or had Fox leave him? No. I've done one. He talks about the events of the world, and we take questions for a half an hour. How did it come about? I used to be on Hannity.
Oh, God, he
and somehow
sounds so
I ended
bored.
Up on a rally. I was out of my hand. I think it was an Ailes decision. I was on there once a week. He used to go out on the road with Beck. I think Beck showed up at a gig one night in a three-cornered hat, jodhpurs, knee-high boots, and said he was Thomas Paine. Next thing you know, I was doing it, and we go out around 10 times a year.
Who's Beck?
Yeah.
Glenn Beck.
Who's Glenn Beck?
He just dissed Glenn Beck.
He did.
Well, no, Glenn Beck literally, he has worn that outfit.
In jodhpurs.
Yeah, but of course he did, but I think he was saying it. I feel like Dennis Miller is not... in any way, and he never would develop a conscience or good politics, but his sort of just basic grouchiness is starting to infect his conservatism crowd as well. Like, he's just getting sick of everybody.
Well, whatever. It's a stupid question of why they went on tour, because Bill O'Reilly got fired, and
because
Dennis Miller
Bill
has
O'Reilly
no money.
Couldn't
what
try,
else is he going
to
do?
He couldn't stop harassing the skirts at Fox, and we still got bills to pay. What kind of a stupid fucking question is that? You're almost making me so irritated. I'll have a reference from 2001 if we keep going at this rate.
Who
knew that? I'm going to do this joke again. Who knew the no spin zone meant don't move?
It does feel like he is not happy to do this interview. Right? I mean, no, it does feel like he's just like literally pointing the finger at the you know, the PR person who set this up. All right, let's just listen to like just another 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hey, so, I mean, obviously you are a tremendous consumer of media. You had a brilliant talk show that was on this station.
I'm definitely winnowing off as I get older because, I don't know, I find the country so polarized and rancorous that I really watch around 10% of what I used to. What's up in the country? Yeah. How's it going? Good?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going good. It's going good.
Pause it. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody remember Dennis Miller? I mean, we have a doll in here. I don't think it talks anymore, but I have a Dennis Miller doll that was produced by conservative outlets because he would because of how polarizing he was 15, 16 years ago. And now I don't even pay attention to the news. Why? What's up?
Can you believe that someone would set you up and go, you know what? I don't even do news humor anymore.
I save all my statue jokes for Billo. Sorry, you prick.
Why are we doing the tour? I think we're hoping people will buy tickets.
You consume a lot of media. No, I don't. I don't consume any media anymore.
I don't consume media at all because ever since Obama stopped being president, now people are being mean to Trump, so we're not all getting along in peace and love anymore.
I'm just absolutely sick of it.
Like when I called Obama a socialist narcissist, I was trying to bring us together, but now it's hopeless.
30 more seconds. This is just too...
When it came to your talk radio show, though, is that the reason why you decided to step off? Because I got a lot of calls about that, because you used to lead into my show here in Tampa and through Central Florida, and they were saying, hey, where did Dennis go? I was like, I don't know where Dennis went.
Let's see, I did 8 years. My contract was up. They asked me if I wanted to do another 2 years. I felt a little, I was starting to get pissed at callers when I thought they were whiny. I thought I was a little ground down, maybe like Dick Vermeil, and I couldn't really see it when Vermeil left the Eagles.
What a great story. Anecdote about why...
It's not as much fun as it used to be, and there's not a lot of room for humor anymore because everybody's so politically correct. So, at age 63, I was 62 when I bailed. I decided I'm going to bail out and travel.
Oh, it's so depressing. It makes me now mad at myself for how often I talk about how old I am.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
I'm 62, I'm 63, I'm 65, I'm 70, I'm a million years old, and I figured...
I hated everybody.
Why did I stop? My contract was up.
You remember Dick Vermeil? He was a coach 25 years ago, and and that's that.
He can't even just say, like, I was blessed enough to take a middling talent and out-of-date cultural references with pseudo-intellectualism and turn it into a multi-million dollar career, and now I'm going to go to Italy, so I appreciate life.
That would be great. You should. I hope he starts talking like that. With the actual truth.
I used to make Star Trek references.
The ship has sailed on my career.
I used to make Star Trek references and say we should invade Iraq and then look up Roman names of Roman senators in a dictionary, and these idiots bought into it to the tunes of millions of dollars. And now I get to go to Greece and find out that the internment actually not so good. Bada bing.
I was the first guy to say Chachi. Hey, Cha-Cha.
Just like Johnny United said.
Now they're going to bomb Guam, and I can't even use Guam as a reference anymore.
All right, let's try it. Well, just do another tour. There really is some quality stuff here.
Hikes and get out of the public opinion business to a large degree.
Great. Have you read any great books
right now, my friend? You know that. How much of a minefield is doing radio for nowadays? We have raised a generation of emotional hemophiliacs who are all too eager to throw their body on a tepid grenade of minor insult, and just doesn't interest me anymore to play it.
I was going to say, but isn't that the point, though, of talk radio where, you know, stepping away, I mean, it's kind of like, isn't that what they want, though? They want people like you to step away who have brilliant opinions and are funny and can make people laugh and have a true talent. I mean, isn't that what they want? They want to shut people like you up?
Who's
they? Shut me up, I quit.
Yeah.
I just don't think of it that way. Quite frankly, I don't care what other people think. I got to the point where I thought, this isn't fun. Time to go.
You stink is why.
Dennis Miller, the Spin Shots here, tour 2017.
Wow.
He won. He got the hostess to process him by the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, now get some smart mouth mints. I'm Dennis Miller for smart mouth.
Did you hear how the host went from, Dennis Miller, what should we do in Florida? By the end, like, all right, Spin Stops here tour will be coming in a couple of weeks.
It's so... And that was Dennis Miller's suicide note. And now we're just going to go take a quick break.
I feel like that's almost...
No, I feel
it
like...
It could happen.
Almost...
It's possible.
That's what was so nice about him talking about his trip. It was the one time that we've listened where...
A little enjoyment.
Just, Like, you know that feeling? Like, it's. I'd like to try and leave people like with the same way that they feel after Godfather 2, where it's all fun.
I'm just sitting in a chair like Michael Corleone, except that's a better reference than I usually provide, and I have no excuse because I'd be too fucking lazy to have my brother killed.
I just want everybody to have that
Fredo,
same sense.
Fredo, you want to portray me because you want a safe space? Okay, I quit.
And I love the way right-wing talk radio is a minefield. Oh, yeah, it's real rough over there.
Yeah, because of all of the 18-year-olds doing anthropology at Brown who are offended because they listen to AM talk radio. What is he talking about?
Unbelievable.
Somebody said on YouTube, they said, I want to give, I think it was Bad Idea Society said, first rule of improv for Miller, say no.
Yes.
No. I don't even do news things anymore. No.
Oh, jeez. That's such a good line.
Miller, I imagine that the Jew, with everything that's happening with the political scene today, the Jew, what's your take there?
Andy, I am afraid we got to wrap up in about 25 minutes. So
I don't want to offend.
I love you, Kelly. I love you.
I love you too, Andy. I'm so glad that I have virtually met you over these past couple of years.
You please do not don't be a stranger. Is the Jews used to say two things? This call must be costing you a fortune, and don't be a stranger.
Okay.
Andy, thank you so much for coming on.
I love you guys.
Thanks, Andy.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks.
Really, honestly, what is the matter with Dennis Miller? Jesus.
We're not going to have time for calls today, but I will take a bunch of IMs. I want to get to a couple of these sound clips that we have. While we're at it, I guess, let's play this Alex Jones one with Mike Cernovich.
Maybe
this is too funny.
Them.
Yeah, we'll play, but it's too funny. This is let's play the one about should we start with the singularity one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Alex Jones welcomes Mike Cernovich. There's something like you look at Mike Cernovich and you just say, like, there's something off about this guy, right? Now this is the pickup artist guy, right?
Can I tell you something? Somebody tweeted a meme once, and it's a picture of like Ryan Gosling in a really nice looking suit, and it says beta cuck phase. And then in the middle, there's a picture of Cernovich looking bloated, and it's like beginning of alpha malehood beginning. And then there's a later picture of Cernovich looking extremely bloated, and it says alpha malehood achieved.
But here he is. I feel like they're trying to try him out. And is that what's going on here? Because he seems uniquely uncomfortable. I mean, I understand, you know, people don't do this type of stuff on a regular basis. And I guess if you're in front of a camera.
Why is he wearing the exact same outfit, though, as Alex Jones? Like,
there is quality of this of like, this is just a parody and we're going to tell you about it tomorrow. Like, this is their version of our Ken and Ken show. But here is Mike Cernovich being introduced by Alex Jones onto InfoWars and, Singularity.
So what is the state of our world today? The quickening, the intensification, the insanity, the wars. Good things and bad things are all accelerating for every action and equal and opposite reaction. It's been said throughout history that you enter these quickening times and that things seem to be connected and that things get more and more crazy. Where would you say we are right now, Mike Cernovich? Good to have you here.
Oh, my pleasure. We're definitely approaching the singularity because our time is becoming dilated now, where I always ask people, how long ago was it when Kathy Griffin pulled her little ISIS beheading stunt? How long ago was Scaramucci fired? Everything is happening.
Seems like a 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So our time is becoming dilated because we're approaching the singularity. Whatever that means, we don't know yet because we've never been in the singularity. But our time now is being accelerated, right? Where a second feels like a minute, right? We live so much in a day now. A full day now feels like a month, and a month feels like a year, and a year feels like a decade. I mean, think about it. We hadn't even met. Feels like I knew you 10 years, 20 years. We met, like, what, for the first time a few months ago? It's crazy, right? So I think that everybody...
Time is changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Sure. I don't really know this
when
guy.
When Alex Jones is staring at you like you're fucking insane, you have a major problem.
Yeah, whatever we met. I don't really know this guy.
That's like... Mike Cernovich is like when you're in college and you're doing acid, if you did that kind of thing, and someone's just talking, you're like, yep.
I agree with you, but we go to that well a lot. I have to be honest, I really think that I have been involved in some of those conversations that made a little bit more sense than he just made.
Oh. Well, yeah.
The best is the look that Jones gives him, where it's like,
it's like,
am I supposed to respond to this?
What the fuck are you talking
right,
about?
Right.
We're trying to sell supplements. What are you doing?
Yeah, buddy. Seriously.
Yeah, this is actually tightly planned and scripted, you moron. I think this guy might actually believe this stuff. We're going to have a problem here.
This is like what happens in wrestling when they bring in somebody who actually doesn't know it's fake. Yes.
Wait a second. Somebody could get hurt here. Why are you picking up that chair? Why are you picking up that chair? I'm getting uncomfortable. All right, cut. Cut. What? We have to stop the action now. God damn it, I'm so sick of doing Roger Stone these goddamn favors. Jesus Christ. Stone, vouch for him. I said, if you look at the guy's tweets, he seems like he's totally insane. Got a goddamn business run here.
Also, just to flag, time is being delayed.
Delayed.
Combination of delay and belated.
Delayed. This guy doesn't even use the right words.
And the opposite of inflated. I don't know if it's a word. I never heard
it. I think
it,
he meant to say dilated, but.
No, I think he means deflated.
I think this guy's trying to sound like a friggin' REM song and he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
It means past tense.
He's using it incorrectly.
I think you're spending too much time on it already, Sam. I don't know. Like,
look, we are headed towards a singularity, though. That's true. That's why we do need these vitamin supplements.
Get back on point.
So, here is... This also is very fun. I mean, you get the sense... I mean, this is why I like this clip so much, is because the veneer falls away from the show a little bit. Where you realize, like, Alex Jones is literally sitting there going, like, God damn it, this guy is really totally effing nuts. And he's not following the goddamn script. So Alex Jones goes to throw to a video roll-in, and Cernovich, who doesn't seem capable of looking... at Alex Jones. He doesn't seem capable of looking at another human being. Was this guy really, like, did he sell books about pickup artistry?
Yes. He's like, here's how you get curls. You sit at the corner of a bar and look at yourself and then occasionally mutter something sexist in their general direction. You'll get laid all the fucking time.
So Cernovich doesn't pick up on the cue and starts to vamp, and just Alex Jones just looks at him like, what? We're supposed to.
But can I just say, watch for the hand movement here that Jones makes.
Okay.
And says, well, Trump's repealed DACA, horrible, racist, evil person. He's not welcome here. And by the way, if you're illegal, you're welcome here. All Trump said is, these aren't really kids that were already here since they were little. It's mainly adults and people that have been deported before, and it's all fake, and there's got to be some vetting. This is an executive order outside of law, just legalizing everybody. But then that
Pause
was ignored.
It. Hold on. That obviously is... just a huge steaming sack of lies. These people are generally older, but they were brought here as children. That's the point. They've been here, in some instances, for 20, 25 years, living as Americans, in many cases, for the first 10 years probably they were here, assuming they were, because they just didn't know they didn't have paperwork. But that's not the point of this.
But then that was ignored what he really said. But think about the takeaway of this with this mayor, where you can say, okay, and also not welcome, law and order, also not welcome, safe society, also not welcome, a property tax base that isn't being eroded. I mean, these Democrat-run cities are sinking into the mud, and here is Rahm Emanuel demonizing the president, trying to save the economy.
Right, because he has no answers. He has no answer for the violence. He has no leadership. While there, how many people are shot every weekend in Chicago? 30 to 50 people some weekends are shot. Record numbers of murders in Chicago. And rather than deal with those real problems, he virtue signals, which is all, this is why Hillary lost. This is why the Democrats keep losing.
By the way, do we not have that clip? Because there's a press conference.
Could you shut up?
Oh, it's ready. Okay, well, let's go ahead and play that clip.
Roger Stone's friend, could you please shut your mouth? Let's just go to the clip.
Did you see what he did with his fist?
When he goes like this.
It's almost like I wish that could be like a visual drop that we could use. He literally ended after he's like, yeah, okay, great. That was brilliant.
I think we have that clip ready that you just fucked up. It actually was ready about a minute ago.
He doesn't even say that. He doesn't. He's like, shut the hell up. All right, we do a clip. God damn it.
Oh, and then you see his face.
Can you imagine when Cernovich
starts talking? Yes! Is this not to me, there's more and more proof every day that Alex Jones is like more the charlatan than the madman.
Look, I may be a crazy lunatic, but I am still a goddamn businessman.
Trying to run a professional drug. What you do is you lie.
I may be out of my mind, but I still put my pants on one leg at a time.
You lie about DACA, and then you say that Rahm Emanuel's inviting drug cartels to set up in Chicago, and then you play the fucking sound.
Half the time, Roger Stone shows up in his bathrobe, and now I got to deal with his friends. All right, play this again. Play this, just this moment right here. Just play this moment again.
Eroded. I mean, these Democrat-run cities are sinking into the mud, and here is Rahm Emanuel demonizing the president, trying to save the economy.
Right, because he has no answers. He has no answer for the violence. He has no leadership. While there, how many people are shot every weekend in Chicago? 30 to 50 people some week.
Oh, my God.
And so goes the final appearance of Mike Cernovich on InfoWars. Unbelievable.
That face. Oh, my God. Oh, they could have just played that face at his trial with his wife alone. And they were like, yep, he should not have custody of the kids.
All right, we don't have... Sorry. No. I just got to keep an eye on this. I get basically... six. Let's read some IMs.
No, I want to.
Well, how are you going to read some IMs? I'll read them off to you. So to paraphrase Cliff, Nina Turner, shut up. She's annoying and too incompetent to run a campaign. Also, did I mention those damn Bernie bros are so unfair and sexist in their attacks on Hillary? Dish Hader, 30s gangster Hillary, help me hold on. You know what, though? You probably would have saying... not make me a dang Bernie bro, a dum-dum. Come on, folks. This is hardly controversial at this point. This isn't about your personal aggrievement runs more than one way. Anyways, have a great weekend, MR crew. You are my rock. Kelly, you rule.
Great. Thanks.
Ear. I tried to tune into Rush to see what he would be saying about the hurricane, giving his scoffing a couple of days ago. Guess what? He skedaddled out of town and someone else is guest hosting. Yeah, we played that clip. DMC, firebrand with an Irish name, exit her post, leaving her office in the hands of globalists and cucks. Is Kelly the new Steve Bannon? Good luck with the new job, Kelly. You will be missed.
Good Lord.
That was great.
Steve Bannon is like three of me. Four.
Ryan Tennant, read as a Ken and Ken show caller for full effect. Hey, Kelly. Congrats on getting away from the failing majority report. But you don't got to be all PC about why you're leaving. We all know it's because you bravely spoke out about topics that trigger the intolerant left, such as the plight of trust fund babies and Megyn Kelly, and the free speech haters at the fake news show you're leaving was censoring you and you got tomied. I don't know how a show consisting only of socialist globalist parens Sam Cedar, New Black Panther Michael Jamal Brooks, and Stone Slacker anarchist Matt Leck thinks they'll survive without you. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. They're funded by George Soros. Regardless, I'm sure you'll be looking forward to working with some real men who will treat you how you deserve to be treated, and I can't wait for your first segment on the Ken, Ken, and Ken, Ken show.
That's an interesting segment. Guest visiting segment idea right there.
God, please clip that Cernovich bit. I'm crying from laughing so hard. Teacher BB, you can see that Dennis Miller is setting up the trope that if you stay and suffer, perhaps because you can't, you don't deserve help. Oh, and F Dennis Miller. Karl Marx was right. You should try and get Richard Wolff on the show sometime. He's a Marxian. We've had him on, but you're right. We should have Cuck Todd. Kelly, my wife will miss you. Your humble host will miss you as well. Secret Identity Politics. In a previous Dennis Miller segment on Stuart Vonnie's show, he claimed that Muslims should be rounded up in what he called doing an FDR. His position on internment camps is as inconsistent as a Gina Davis's sister's batting game in the first half hour of A League of Their Own. Ba-da-da. I love Sarah Palin. Love you, Kelly. Can we have a final pup date?
There's no real pup date. Edie's still doing great, allowed to roam around the house all by herself, almost as if she was a full-grown-up two-year-old, which she's not. She's ahead of the curve. She's doing great.
Christo, just a thought, but what if I don't give an F? Kelly punched out Michelle Malkin. I'd enjoy it, but would it be wrong? Seriously, you'll be missed, Kelly. Best of luck. And Bonora, Cernovich has an intriguing approach. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but let me be firm about it nonetheless. The DX Full, don't know about praying, but please also pray for Randy Rhodes, Nicole Sandler, and those families. Homes are in the path of Irma. Oh, right. Jeez. Yes. Alex Jones, buy my Super Male Vitality Stool Softener. Cantaloupe, 2016. After listening for years, I had finally had to become a member on Kelly's last day. As much as I love the show, it badly needed a bit of estrogen to break up the boys' club. She will be missed. So just for tradition's sake, Kelly, can I get your number? Chris Lepaco, Cernovich has a look like a dog whose owner just whistled in his face. Hello? Is this I am working? Hello? Too soon? On a serious note, I would also like to add Mike Cernovich to the people I literally want to fight in the octagon. Alex Jones has been challenged, but he refuses to return my phone calls. I'm not kidding. I will fight Alex Jones or Mike Cernovich. People need to get at them on Twitter. I keep following Kelly for pup dates. Hire Lepaco. Politics drawn poorly. AP News reporting that Governor Rick Scott has announced all Florida residents should prepare to evacuate. That's 20 million people.
Prepare to evacuate? No.
It's just absurd.
Cernovich
seems like he's on the spectrum. Modern Times, Turkey Point is also pretty close to Fort Lauderdale Airport. Also, the High Lie Fronton. The Fronton is a huge deal, but I want to hear you pronounce High Lie. You know what? High Lie used to be in Connecticut, so I used to see ads for that, so I'm not. Farmergillian, best of luck at TYT, Kelly. You did an Amazonian job behind the scenes and on air, especially making your voice heard above the frat party. Sorry, guys. Though Kelly is irreplaceable, I assume, San, you'll be hiring a woman for the position. Great.
No, of course not. It's too much. No more. Hello?
You can't specifically look for a woman or a man for a job. That is not allowed.
That is not legal. Social Jewish warrior, tell Jordan Charlton to stop posting Facebook pictures of himself in a Superman cape with a TYT logo replacing the Superman logo.
Telling any of these people anything.
I like how
stuff.
Everybody has great ideas for a really good way to like set yourself up at a new job. It's like go in and immediately make demands of your new colleagues.
Smack
that are rude. Yeah.
And do rude
hit
things.
People, insult their content, tell them to stop doing different pictures.
Meanwhile, everybody that's saying this has a direct line to every single one of these people. It's called Twitter. Like, say whatever you want.
I'm sure
Kristen Gillibrand,
these people
proposition.
Hit them on
we'll miss you, Kelly. Good luck at TY at TIT. Binder Dad, Cernovich diss is better than any Alex Jones man's on the street, and he'd even mean it. Good luck, Kelly. Carmichael's. Ah, dude, what happened to God Emperor Brady and the Pats? Oh, I don't want to talk about that. I live near Charlie Dent's district. The local paper calls him a centrist. Ask Kelly to slap Michael Tracy for me. Chicago Dion. That woman Dennis Miller mentioned as statuesque was born in 1933. Gorka's power tool. Hello. I was just about to relax by tuning into my right-wing radio station from Western Mass, but they seem to have been replaced by, well, you. Hooray, Kelly. Best wishes and hope you return occasionally just to keep following Handmaid's Tale and add your giggle to the background. Mazel tov. Says who? Cliff must not be paying attention. Hillary has a beard. Her name is Uma. That's a great effing joke. Producer Lauren. Good luck, Kelly, and take some selfies with TYT Bill Press for us fangirls. And that's it. Kelly, come say goodbye on camera.
I made him do that, guys. Good to see yourself. Bye, everybody. It was great being here, and I'll miss you. And I'll especially miss you, Sam. It's weird to say since I'm so close to you right now.
Yeah, it's awkward.
But I'll still be texting you when I'm scared. That's how it's going to be. And I'll miss you, Michael. And
miss
I'll
you,
miss
too.
Miss you, Matt. And I'm really sad, but I'll probably just cry later. Bye.
Don't cry.
Kelly.
Okay, cry. Sorry.
Yeah, don't try to limit her emotional expression.
Whoa.
Bing.
Oh, I mean,
limit your emotional expression.
I'm definitely going to cry.
I mean, I limit that myself.
Not right now, so but, you know, it's been a couple of years. It seems strange. I mean, I'm not Mike Cernovich, so I don't know what's happening with the singularity in time.
It does. Yeah.
But it does seem quick.
It really does. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we got to go. But Kelly, thank you so much. Folks, you've seen the growth that we have had in our YouTube channel and the growth in the show that we've had in the years that you've been here, Kelly. And
when we started here, live viewers wouldn't see video.
That's true. Yeah. Good
Damn.
Job.
What would they see?
They would just nothing. They would just hear
nothing.
Audio. They would hear audio and look at you.
Live viewers would see nothing.
Just your face.
Right, right. They would just be
a
like,
now
let's
totally
play this sound.
thank you for everything, Kelly.
Thank you.
Don't okay. be a stranger.
Everybody. I won't. I already told
but
you.
But don't, I mean, don't get, here don't get, go, don't go crazy. All right, folks. If you're in Florida, anywhere down there, please take care of yourself. Our thoughts will be with you. And we'll see you next week.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there.